Back now with Take Two on 89.3 KPCC. I'm A. Martinez. Exactly 63 years ago today, Disneyland opened its doors for the first time. It was the only theme park built under the direct supervision of Walt Disney himself, and he was intimately involved with every single aspect of the park, including the food. That brings us to the Tam O'Shanter in Atwater Village, which played an integral role in Disney's life leading up to Disneyland's grand opening. Marcy Smothers says Disney often went there with his key animators.
Where we are sitting now, booth 35, is where Walt and his nine old men actually worked. And you can see the pegs. If you come to Tam O'Shanter, you'll see there are some pegs above the booth on both sides. That was both for the gentleman's hat back in the day. But also, if Walt wanted privacy, he would hang a velvet curtain and he could be enclosed in this booth.
Smothers is the author of the book Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. And sitting in the very booth Disney himself often sat in, she filled me in on how Walt Disney liked to eat.
Super simple food. You know, back in the day, all this food, and still here at the Tam O'Shanter, was Walt's wheelhouse. Simple foods, beautifully prepared. He liked the hamburger sandwich that was here. You can get the meats, the carved meats, you know, nice coffee, black coffee, which Walt liked. Because despite being a very complex man and one of the most famous men on the planet, and he could eat anything he wanted, he was not a fancy eater. He actually, I think, as a human being, as I understand him, pretty ordinary when you got down to the person who Walt was every day.
All right, so how did Walt Disney change the game in terms of the food landscape at amusement parks?
Well, first of all, we would probably say nicely it's a theme park, because Walt Disney pretty much probably was one of the first theme park in America, not one of the most major theme parks in the world. So he really made a distinction about amusement parks. Amusement parks would be where there'd be cotton candy and peanuts and just, you know, your ordinary rides, and they were generally dirty. So the theme park really was, you know, Walt's concept of everything. Every land has a specific era, a specific time era, and the details and the stories reflect that era, such as Main Street USA, you know, Victorian America, and then there's Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, which was the embodiment of all Walt's animated features, and Tomorrowland, which interestingly was set in 1986. Now, they were planning this in 1954. Why 1986? Because that was going to be the next time that Halley's Comet returned. And so that was the furthest that Imagineers could, you know, think that far out.
Take us through more of Disneyland in terms of Walt's culinary influence in each one of these places.
Culinary-wise, all the food is on Main Street USA was Victorian, turn of the century, which was the land, the time that land is set in. A lot of people don't realize that Main Street USA is a land, and it is. So the Carnation Cafe, as you're walking down on the left-hand side, because Walt used to love to dine there and eat there. And he would, at that restaurant, he liked to stay anonymous. He would sit in the back, and he just liked to watch his guests. And that's where his favorite milkshakes were made. And then the other restaurant I would say, which you can really get a great feel for Walt, is if you go to the Plaza Inn, which was Swift's Red Wagon Inn. That was a restaurant that Walt had a heavy hand in when it was redesigned with John Hench in 1965. You can ask to sit at his table. You can see the hooks that have been there since Walt's iteration, which is where they were hanging the flowers, and sometimes they bring them back. There's homage to Walt, and the Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room and Birds in Cages are there because of Walt. It's just such a wonderful way to bring yourself back to the era where Walt was there.
Walt's last land was New Orleans Square. What's special about that final land for Walt Disney?
So many things are very special. Walt was alive to dedicate New Orleans Square in 1966, but he didn't live to see any of the restaurants, the three restaurants that he championed, open. The first one being the Blue Bayou. The Blue Bayou might be, if not, among the very first themed restaurants in America. When that opened in 1967, there was no reservations. You would just, the rope would drop and you would run and put your name in to get, I mean, that's how you would get into the Blue Bayou. It was really kind of, but it was this, Walt wanted a complete show inside that restaurant. So while the Blue Bayou restaurant was ready to go, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was not. And so he didn't let the restaurant, the Blue Bayou, open in 1966 because it wouldn't be, as he said, a good show without the boats floating by. And interestingly, and New Orleans Square is the only land in Disneyland that ever opened without an attraction. So the other two restaurants that were Walt planned but never lived to see was the Creole Cafe, which is now Cafe Orleans. And that's where he wanted to have a really great cup of coffee, reminiscent of, you know, the coffee we get in New Orleans. And then the third restaurant, of course, was Club 33, where he could entertain dignitaries and VIPs, and he also was trying to get sponsors then for Walt Disney World.
Talking to Marcy Smothers. She wrote the book Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food, and we're having this conversation at Tam O'Shanter's on Los Feliz. So Walt obviously is not with us anymore, but if he were still here and if he were still going to Disneyland, what would Walt eat at Disneyland today?
Well, a hot dog for sure. And, you know, there's a fun story about hot dogs. Tangentially also, he invented or helped invent the swinging door trash cans that we see throughout Disneyland and the parks around the world. That's because he didn't want guests to lift the back-in-the-day round aluminum lids and actually see garbage. So he came up with that idea for the swinging door so that guests would never see garbage. But it plays into the hot dog story because Walt paced off the distance between how far those trash cans should be based on how long it took him to eat a hot dog, because he didn't want to give guests any reason to drop the wrapper on the ground. So I would say that Walt would have a hot dog. He would probably go to the Carnation Cafe and get his milkshakes the way he liked them, a little bit runny. Then he would probably swing over to, for sure, Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room, which is the only attraction at Disneyland that still has Walt Disney's name on it. He would go there now for the Dole Whip, for sure. I think, you know, he would appreciate that Dole was a sponsor. He would support Dole. He would go there. And then he would have gone to the Plaza Inn and sat at his table and had, you know, roast beef and gravy or fried chicken and mashed potatoes or meatloaf or a grilled cheese, something that was his type of favorite food that's still there today.
It's kind of comforting to know that it still would probably be pretty much the same thing that we would have had before.
I can't imagine it would be any different because having spoken to so many people that knew Walt and read interviews with people that knew Walt, it just kept saying over and over again, he was a simple, wonderful man, and he had very simple taste. And I feel with Eat Like Walt, I didn't want to deify him. I just wanted to present him as the man who did what we do, eat every day. And I think with the anecdotes and the stories, it just paints a different picture of him through a different angle, because food is intimate. We eat every day. It's so familiar and it's also very relatable. And then, you know, being here at the Tam O'Shanter where Walt works, you know, really pretty much throughout the 30s is a very, very special thing.
That's Marcy Smothers. Her book is Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. Marcy, thanks a lot.
Thank you, A.